This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thanks so much for being with us today. WUWM's Project Milwaukee is in the middle of an extensive look in conjunction with Milwaukee Public TV at the issue of incarceration among black men in the community. Previous stories and interviews have set out to quantify the situation, and in the future, we'll examine the impact it's having on the community at large and the people and organizations working to improve the situation. This month, we're exploring the factors that led Wisconsin to have the highest percentage of incarcerated African-American men in the country, according to the latest census. It's an issue that Michael Holtzman has studied and written about recently. Holtzman was formerly an education policy analyst, but has expanded his work, and he wrote passionately about what he believes is to blame in a column for the website Daily Kos. He joins us now by phone. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, let's talk about this issue of black male incarceration in Milwaukee in particular. And you write pretty strongly about this. Who do you see in the power structure that you believe is making the decisions that have led Milwaukee down this road to its disproportionate rate of incarcerating black men?
Well, actually, I'm very happy that you phrased it that way, because many people think that these decisions are being made by the black men and not by the people who are controlling the institutions. The criminal justice system, if we're concentrating on that, has three main components. There's the police, there's the prosecutors, and there's the judges. The police, in some places, is the sheriff's department, but I believe Milwaukee is a police department, has a chief of police. The chief of police makes rules about what counts as a crime, where to concentrate forces, what to do about it. So I'd say that the disproportionality of arrests follows from decisions made by the chief of police. The prosecutors work for the district attorney. The district attorney, in the same way, sets policies and emphasis. And so the decisions about who gets prosecuted lies with the district attorney and his or her assistants. There was a good illustration of this a year or so ago where the police were in another city, were arresting large numbers of young black men for trespassing in the apartment houses in which they lived. And the police took these cases to the local district attorney, and the district attorney refused to prosecute. So there can be people who are taking personal responsibility in a positive way. The third component is the judge, and the judges decide on convictions and on sentencing and the level of punishment.
All three of those institutions or individuals in some cases could make the case that they work on behalf of the people of Wisconsin or the people of Milwaukee or the people of Milwaukee County. And in turn, the legislature is what determines all of this. Is there a point higher up the chain that needs to be pointed to as well?
Well, what you have in Milwaukee is an extremely egregious situation. If you have 10 times as many black people imprisoned in Milwaukee as white people, and this is either the first or second highest in the country, we're not talking about little shades of gray here. We're talking about something that is shouting out that there is a real serious problem.
We've heard this contention from several people. We interviewed Lois Quinn, who co-authored the study that really focused so much attention on the disparities. We've heard that crimes are committed by both blacks and whites, but there are some for which blacks are far more likely to be arrested. Is it possible to tease those numbers out? Have you been able to look and say that it's just a case of more blacks being arrested for the same crimes that white people could have been arrested for as well?
Well, if we look at drug use is really what drives this thing. It is the clearest case. Studies going back a generation have shown that drug use is similar in all populations. What you have is at least four times the percentage of African Americans as white people are arrested and imprisoned for drug use. So it's not that black people are more likely to commit crimes. It's that the police are more likely to arrest them.
Why isn't the answer to just arrest and convict more white male offenders?
Well, that would be an interesting thing. You think that would be supported by the voters?
Well, I think it's a fair question.
Well, I think it is a fair question. I think because what would happen then would be that the laws would be changed. The use of cocaine, which again is a a highly egregious situation, is generally higher in white professional classes than it is among poor people. It costs a lot. And if the laws about cocaine were enforced with white people, there'd probably be very serious consideration given to changing those laws.
You know, there are, of course, a lot of people who have heard the interviews in our series and have written in or emailed to say, you know, what about personal responsibility of the people who commit the crimes, that these issues wouldn't be nearly as extreme if black men in the community made better choices?
I think the important point about personal responsibility is the personal responsibility of the people we were talking about earlier. Personal responsibility of the chief of police, of the district attorney, of the judges involved. They are severely damaging the social fabric of the city. And whenever the chief of police directs that police activity will take place primarily or in large part in all black communities, he is severely straining the economic and social fabric of that area of the city. And that then follows for the district attorney and the judges. The personal responsibility of the people who are being arrested is a very tricky subject. In many places in the country on drug possession, the police will stop somebody and say, show me what's in your pocket. And although it's not illegal to carry marijuana in your pocket, it is illegal to show it in public. So usually a young man, terrified by this police officer, shows the police officer what's in his pockets, which might be a marijuana cigarette, which is not illegal to have in the pocket. But as soon as it's out in the open in his hand, then he's arrested.
Well, and so let me ask, what is the answer to something like that?
The answer is for the police not to try to trick people in that way, not to try to score points or to get good recommendations on the basis of how many people they arrest. The answer is community policing that is intended and practiced to improve the quality of life in the neighborhood.
Well, and what about on the, if not on the enforcement end, certainly in the when you start talking about the fabric of the neighborhood, you know, one could make an argument that, okay, maybe arresting people for having a marijuana cigarette in their pocket isn't the ideal solution, but nor is a neighborhood where significant numbers of people are using or selling drugs. What do you do on that end of the equation to, say, improve the quality of life, if not for taking people off the street?
I think you have to balance these things. And, you know, reasonable people might be able to differ to some extent, but the situation in Milwaukee is that you have between 30 and 50% young adult black males who are in prison or have been in prison. And it's clear to everybody that this has a horrible effect on the economic situation of people in their neighborhoods. While they're in prison, they can't support their families. When they're out of prison, they're unlikely to get good jobs, and they're actually unlikely to get any jobs at all. So what you get is a catastrophic economic decline that's directly attributable to the practices of the police and the rest of the criminal justice system. And the people who really suffer from this are the children. You have 40% of families in Milwaukee with children are living in poverty. Those children don't have much of a chance in life. And the reason they don't have much of a chance in life is the disparate enforcement of these victimless crime laws.
Your previous focus was largely on education in your work, and I'm curious where you see education falling in this particular dynamic.
The key to that is the education funding system. Education funding system in the United States is unique. I haven't come across any other in the world where schools are funded on the basis of the economic status of the parents of the children, which is property tax. Therefore, people living in poor neighborhoods, because they're poor, go to schools that are poorly funded. People living in wealthier neighborhoods, because they're wealthy, have children going to school in wealthier neighborhoods. This then just perpetuates the situation. The thought comes, perhaps, that what's going on here is a difference in capacity of the children in Wisconsin. The chances of a black male student graduating from the Milwaukee Public Schools are very slight. The chances of a black male student graduating from a Wisconsin school not in Milwaukee are 4 or 5 times as great. I doubt if the kids just outside of Milwaukee are significantly different in their native capacity than the kids in Milwaukee. The variable here is schools, the way they're funded, and the way that the resources are apportioned.
Well, and in fact, you make the comparison of family situations in Milwaukee to what African Americans would see if they moved to Mississippi, which is often used as a benchmark for poor economics. And you come to the conclusion that African Americans would be slightly better off there.
Yeah, the climate's better, too. Yeah, they would be. And I'm not making a case for Mississippi. It's just that the situation in Milwaukee is so terrible that even Mississippi, which is at the bottom of all possible indicators, is doing better.
There's a lot that's been made about how segregated a city Milwaukee is. How would you contend that affects this equation? Would incarceration be affected if neighborhoods here were more ethnically mixed, do you think?
There are two ways to approach this education issue, and then I think that approach is there are two ways to approach the incarceration issue. If the neighborhoods were mixed, then the schools would be better, not because it's better to have integration, but because no white-dominated school board is going to make a school that is significantly populated by white kids as bad as the schools that are overwhelmingly black. And then as educational outcomes for children improve, the potential earning capacity of those children once they become adults improves. The chances that they're going to be incarcerated decrease, and lives get better. The segregation is just incredible. When I was trying to place Chinese teachers from China in schools in Milwaukee, I was told that the primary problem was going to be to find some place for them to live because the city was so segregated that there was no appropriate neighborhood for the Chinese.
Is there a comparison to be made to how New York City has taken on low-level offenses?
Yes. If the vivid example that has just occurred is with what they call stop and frisk, and I understand there's a parallel program in Milwaukee having to do with automobiles. In New York, the previous regime had the police chief instructed the police to stop as many black and Latino young adults and teenagers on the streets as possible, ask them to reveal anything that's in their pockets, and arrest those who had some kind of violation, and particularly if they had guns. And there were the last quarter in 2012, I think it was, there was something on the order of 200,000 of these stops. They found virtually no guns. They found that the amount of offenses available were the same for whites as for blacks, and yet the overwhelming, incredibly overwhelming majority of stop and frisk were of black and Latino youth. When the federal judge said that this was unconstitutional, the number of these things dropped by 90%. Crime rate remained on the same declining curve it had been at, and arrests remained the same. So this kind of activity had no effect except to criminalize a generation of young black adults.
Michael Holtzman, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Michael Holtzman was formerly research consultant for the Schott Foundation on Public Education. He now does research and writes about issues involving racial disparities in a number of policy areas. You'll find a link to his column for Daily Kos from WUWM.com/Lake Effect. Milwaukee Police Chief Edward Flynn has another take on where the police department fits into this picture. We'll speak with him when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.